greeting is from the book of Romans, on page, may be found on page 1141 of the Bibles. 1141. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mind and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, what an honour it is to be here and to have the opportunity to speak at your evening service. I bring greetings from St. Thomas's Church in Kendal, which is where I usually worship. But I have a long association with this church here in Tunbridge, having attended evening services throughout my secondary school years, as well as going to holiday club at St. Philip's when I was really small, and then Pathfinders and Cypher, and then a group called Mints because we met after eight. And I was confirmed here when I was age 13. So it has a lot of memories and important memories to me here. And it was a great honour, albeit a somewhat daunting one, to be asked to preach here this Bible Sunday. And what should we do whenever we face a daunting task? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the Bible so that we can read about you whenever we like. Please help us to let your holy word transform us from the inside out so that we always point others to Jesus. Amen. If someone asked you what your favourite Bible passage was, I wondered what you'd say. Many of us would probably find it too difficult to choose just one. And yet I'm sure we could each give an example of at least one Bible story, passage, or verse that we particularly treasure. Perhaps Jesus' promise that he will never leave us from Matthew 28. The promise from Revelation 21 about heaven, where there will be no more suffering or pain or tears. The beauty and poetry of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The summary of the good news of the Christian faith, quoted in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I have many favourites, but one that springs to mind readily is the one my mum, who many of you know better as Christine Turner, has often quoted to me over the years. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. I'm sure we could go on all night recalling verses that mean a lot to each of us. We are so blessed to have such wonderful riches to delve into whenever we so choose. But the passage I chose to speak on this evening is one of the set readings for today from the lectionary, the first six verses of Romans chapter 15, which we've just had read to us. And most particularly, verse 4. Everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. The Bible shows us what God is like, what mankind is like, how God wants us to live, what happens when we don't live like that, and the extraordinary lengths he has gone to put wrong right and win us back with his love. As today's passage says, Scripture teaches us in order that we might have hope. And we don't need to look very far before we see the great need for hope that there is in our world today. There is so much to despair about. The daily news is full of reports of crime, war, floods, famine, violence, addictions, illness, corruption, poverty, unemployment, broken relationships, depression, death, and grief. It is easy to feel overwhelmed by hopelessness when confronted by the suffering going on all around us, and quite likely also within us. So what is this hope that St. Paul wrote about in what is now known as chapter 15, verse 4? Surely it is that good will triumph over evil, because Jesus has already won the victory, and we are safe in him. Death is no longer the end or an enemy, but simply a doorway to our new life in heaven with Jesus and our Heavenly Father. There's a lovely Stuart Townend hymn that explains it very well. I wonder if you know it. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory, now revealed in meagre part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ, with sins forgiven, and Christ in me, the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make his will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers, courage, in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When sufferings cease, and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. New Christians, or those who have recently been to a Christian convention, such as New Wine or Soul Survivor, are often full of joy and excitement at the wonderfully good news of Jesus. But so easily the day-to-day challenges of life can dull our senses to God's goodness, like a cloud moving across the sun. We know that the sun is still there, even when it's raining, but somehow it doesn't seem quite so real to us anymore. And our faith can be like that sometimes too. We still believe, we know that God is always with us, that he loves us, that he is always good and in control. But the grime of the daily grind can so easily dim our view of his goodness, and we can find ourselves wondering if he really has got everything in hand. If the story of our lives will really, as children's fiction often puts it, end happily ever after. I have been a Christian just about as long as I can remember, which is a great privilege, but I often wonder if God got me at a young age because he knew it would take me such a long time to learn all that he needed to teach me. I remember as a teenager once feeling a bit disappointed with Christianity. I knew I belonged to Jesus and was safe in the fold, so to speak, with the other 99 sheep. But was this all there was to Christianity? I was committed for life, so Jesus didn't need to bother with me anymore. No, his focus was on looking for the lost sheep. But as I thought this over, I imagined Jesus as the good shepherd saying to me, "I'm off to look for a lost sheep. Would you like to come?" And I, now picturing myself as a little girl rather than a sheep, eagerly said, "Yes, please." In my mind's eye, I took his hand and off we went together. And in this imagined scene, as we walked along, I suddenly saw the lost sheep in the distance, and I cried out excitedly, "Look, Jesus, there it is." Now, Jesus had seen the sheep long before I had, but he hadn't let on. Instead, he'd waited until I'd noticed it so that I could have the joy of pointing it out. And then, like a loving father does with a small child, Jesus said, "Go on then, take it this food," which he then handed to me. Now, the good shepherd didn't need the help of a small child to find that sheep, but he chose to share the searching with the child because he knew the child would enjoy it and would learn through the experience, and because his own enjoyment would be enriched by sharing the search with one of his children. And that's how I think it is with God. He doesn't really need us. He's quite capable of revealing himself to people directly through dreams, visions, and miracles. And we hear tales of times when he does precisely that, and people come to faith. But more often, our Heavenly Father chooses to share his work with us, perhaps because it's more fun that way. So to return to our text, everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. First, we have to receive that hope for ourselves, and then we are to share it with others, that they might have hope too. Walking with Jesus like this is exciting, challenging, costly work, but utterly worthwhile. At this point, some of you may be thinking, "But what can I do? I could never stand up at the front. I could never be a missionary overseas or teach a Sunday school class or whatever." Well, one thing we can do is to support organisations such as the Bible Society. On Bible Sunday, we particularly remember those who are desperate to hear the good news, but do not have access to a Bible. Some countries do not permit Christianity to be preached or taught openly. Some places have no or very few Christians to tell them the good news, hence the importance of distributing Bibles. Many people become Christians simply through reading the Bible or even a single gospel. In supporting such work financially and or in prayer, we are joining in the work of the Good Shepherd in finding the lost sheep. We are sharing the wonderful, life-giving hope that we have found in the Scriptures. However, it is also important that we don't neglect our own families, friends, neighbours, colleagues, and acquaintances. It's not just those in remote lands who need to hear the good news of Jesus. The people of Tunbridge and throughout this country are all in need of a saviour who can bring a real and lasting hope into their lives. We don't have to be eloquent speakers or Bible scholars to tell others about Jesus. We ourselves could be described as living Bibles. We have Jesus, the living Word, in us. So, on this Bible Sunday, let us be encouraged to act. No matter our age, experience, education, background, or abilities, we can all share in the Good Shepherd's work of seeking the lost, that they too may have hope. Just pause for a moment or two of quiet reflection, and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, may we always treasure your holy word. May our familiarity with it not dull our appreciation of just how precious and important the Bible is. Most of all, we ask that as we read and contemplate your word, we will allow ourselves to be transformed by it, to the glory of your name. Amen.